It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
While we know theoretically that pacifiers can be people too, it's hard not to associate them with those little rubber gadgets for babies.
That's what they say. Good morning. I'm Rena Miller, and joining us now is University of Michigan English professor Anne Curzan. Good morning to you, Anne.
Good morning.
Pacifiers? We're talking about pacifiers?
We are, because one of my colleagues was talking to me about pacifiers and said, now, of course, this is a colleague with children who was hanging out with other people with children, and they were talking about the different words for this little plastic nipple or a teething ring that you use for babies to suck on or chew on. And he said, well, you've got pacifiers. Some people call them passies or dummies or binkies. And he said, where do these things come from? Now, I have to say, I don't have children, and I don't think that much about binkies and pacifiers.
Nor do I.
But I decide, all right, off I go to figure this out. If you look in American Heritage Dictionary, it only has the meaning of the little gadget for babies. Merriam-Webster, though, the first definition is one who pacifies or something that pacifies, and then it has the baby's device. So can you use pacifier to talk about a person?
I don't think I would. I might say a peacemaker.
Right, because I think at this point, pacifier is so much about babies that to call someone a pacifier would feel almost insulting as opposed to nice. The definition of pacifier to mean someone or something that pacifies goes back to the 16th century in English. It's longstanding. I did realize one of the places you'll still hear it, and I think I could do it, was for something like a drug that is a mood pacifier, that I could do that. Or I found one quote that said, I use food as a pacifier for my anxieties.
Yeah, or a glass of wine as a pacifier. Yes.
I thought, okay, I could do that. But I found one quote from the 1990s where it said, he learnt in middle age to rise above jealousy and become the diplomatic pacifier.
Well, can we get back to the baby pacifier for a moment? Where did something like binky come from pacifier? It's not like a shortening of it or anything.
No. So the binky is actually a trademark. I did not realize that. It comes into use in the first half of the 20th century. It really takes off in the 1980s, although it is nowhere near as common as pacifier. You have dummy, which is a shortening from a dummy teat, and that is more common in British. And this had me thinking about the way that linguists use pacifiers in doing linguistic research, which is going to be a slight left turn for us, but I think it's an interesting thing to hear about, that when we're trying to figure out how little kids, babies, learn language, we can't ask them because, of course, they can't talk.
Yeah, there's that.
So one of the things we're trying to figure out, when babies are born, they can hear every sound in every language of the world. And then at some point, they start to only pay attention to the sounds that are important to them. And we want to figure out, okay, when does that happen? Well, one of the things they do is they give babies a pacifier that they can monitor, and they will play the same sound to the kid. So let's imagine an L, ool, 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 and the kid will calm down and suck more and more slowly. And then they will change the sound and change it to an R, and the kid wakes up and is like, ooh, new sound, and will start sucking on the pacifier faster. Now, English-speaking babies will continue to hear that distinction. But in Japanese, you don't have a distinction between L and R. So between about 10 and 12 months, the Japanese-speaking babies will hear ul, ul, ul. Their sucking will slow down. Then it changes to r, and they don't notice.
Interesting. That was a left turn. Always fun, though. Thanks, Anne.
Thanks, Rena.